That's not your butt, Salsa. That's not your butt.
You don't want to see it. Oh, no.
No, no, no. I hate
ladies
all of you.
For this
this was a horrible idea.
You guys want to see how good my bidet works?
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Oh, wow.
And special guest.
Yeah, we got a special guest here. Identify yourself.
This is Joe Yeh. I've been here before. I say bad things.
We don't need to talk about you then. Well, here we are in quarantine again. So what you drinking?
What's the one that's...
Don't show it to me, Jenna. Tell me.
I'm trying to.
Go ahead.
It's Sailor Jerry and Dr. Pepper. What was that called again?
A Sailor Jerry and Dr. Pepper, I think, would be like a...
No. It has an actual name. Porter used to make them all the fucking time.
Oh.
Dr. Jerry?
And I just happen to have all of those things. No, it wasn't...
Pepper Sailor?
You're a Pepper Sailor.
An Ishmael.
No, it was Dr. something.
Yeah.
Pirate Splooge.
That's not Dr. something. But thanks for playing. Dr. Fix-It.
Anyway.
Well, there's that.
Dr. Fix-It. That was it.
Dr. Fix-It.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm having a Dr. Fix-It because I had a whole bunch of Sailor Jerry and Dr. Pepper. Guess who made a run of the store for supplies?
Makes sense.
You.
Yup.
James, what are you drinking?
What are you?
I'm drinking a gin and tonic.
Somebody's breathing
with
into the
splash of lime. That's Jenna. Her microphone is directly under her nostril. Oh, it's tucked right up in there now.
Anyway,
still hot.
God damn it! Oh my god!
We're gonna bring up our phones later and have some weird time.
Oh.
That's the truth, by the way.
What are you drinking?
Everybody listening in quarantine.
I just said gin and tonic. Joe?
So what are you drinking? I'm drinking PBR because I'm hipster trash. But I've also been researching how to get cigarettes delivered to me. And because, all right, so I'm drinking beer that I got delivered to my home. Great. Following the rules. I'm not much of a libertarian, but I got a streak in me. Why the fuck can't I get cigarettes delivered to my home if I can get hard liquor and beer delivered to my home? I mean, come on.
Good question.
Stupid.
But also, I think people who identify themselves as being libertarians are just Republicans that have been who have found the good word of their Lord and Savior Ayn Rand.
Pause. It's not Ayn Rand. It's Ayn Rand, number one.
Oh, a student. Great.
Yeah. Number two, she is a demon unto herself. I have a story about Ayn Rand, if you want to hear this.
I do. I want to hear this.
Did you fuck her?
No. No, I got fucked by her ideologies, though. There was a place that I worked for exactly 6 months. this was a place, I'm not going to name the place, but it was a media company, Delton Advertising. Not the place that we used to work.
Right.
At various times. A very different place. A small company, about 20 people big. And I went in for, and they did... web advertising, not just web, but like advertising. God, it was so gross. You know how you get like those BuzzFeed articles that are like, you know, five things you can do to help you sleep. And like one of them is like, eat right. The other one is have a schedule. Number four on those five things might be try this supplement. And that supplement was somebody who paid us money to write an article to promote their supplement. It was gross. So I go in for orientation. Like, I nailed the interview. I got hired. I was a website manager. Great. Can do. First day on the job, I go in and meet with the CEO. Again, 20 people strong. And the guy says, so, do you know about Ayn Rand? And I'm like, oh, fuck, what the hell did I just get myself into? I'm like, I wanted to be like, dude, her name's Ayn Rand. You, number one, if this is your goddess, you should fucking pronounce her name right. Number two, oh, God, this is disgusting.
No, no, Ayn Rand, down in Martin, in the payments receivable. Ayn Rand.
Oh, of the Pennsylvania Rands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're also pretty crusty, though.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the place that I worked 6 months before they fired me on the day of Bill's memorial. I didn't even care. I was like, number one, I'm already out of emotion to fucking care. But yeah. This is probably the best thing that could have happened to me today. Honestly, like.
Well, also another reason I knew that you would enjoy The Good Place.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Have you seen The Good Place?
Fuck. Not all of it, but I've seen, what is it, 3 seasons?
All right. If you've seen that, then you've seen enough where the protagonist is like, dude, you need me to lie and sell fake medicine to old people. I get it. Whatever.
Like, yeah, I think that's episode one. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. And just to be clear, I do have a little bit of inner libertarian because I don't want the government in my business. Don't tell me that I can't smoke or that I can't have cigarettes delivered to me. I mean, fucking stupid age restriction shit.
I think the word you're looking for is not libertarian. The word you're looking for is selfish asshole.
No.
That's what it was.
No, it's not.
No, you're right. They're synonymous. I forgot.
I should be able to. I don't smoke menthols. I should be able to buy them anywhere. That is how I feel.
Okay, baby.
I'm also fine with paying taxes if they actually use the shit to fix the goddamn road in front of my house.
Look, if that is how you feel, then we accept you for who you are. Even if that is a selfish asshole.
You know what? The country's on fire. I may get a little bit more than normally political during this particular Okay? I can't help it. It's been circling around in my brain.
James, are you fucking with filters or something? Because your audio or your visual, your video keeps, like, doing weird shit.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Jenna and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nope.
I know what Jenna's doing. I'm just trying to figure out what you're doing.
No, I've decided I'm keeping the kissy lips on my visual.
Oh, yeah.
That's for you guys.
Nice.
Cool.
No, yeah. I have many options.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care, James. You mistook my comment for interest.
I don't think any of your listeners care either, because they don't know what's happening right now.
Visual jokes on an audio podcast.
Here's the thing you don't understand, Joe, is if our listeners are still listening after close to 500 episodes, we've run out of things to say 100 episodes ago. We're just talking nonsense. Like, this is normal.
Okay, well, I got something for you. I watched a awesome theory about the Finding Nemo movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
What is it about?
It was that they probably won't make... There's a 50-50 chance that they will make a Finding Nemo 3.
Yeah?
First of all, in Finding Nemo 1 and 2, the director was really, really big on being scientifically accurate with aquatic life. However, clownfish... If a colony of clownfish, a female dies, the dominant breeding male its brain chemistry starts changing, and then its physiology starts changing, and it becomes the dominant female. Yep. And the next in line in like the pecking order or whatever becomes the dominant male and starts breeding. This mm-hmm. being the case, that means that Nemo and Marlin, since they're a colony of two clownfish, Marlin will become the dominant female and Nemo will start fucking his dad mom. Now, this is weird, but that is what would happen in nature according to all biological studies done. So the thing is, Disney family-friendly cartoon, they're either going to be like, no, we don't know how to do that, or they're going to use this as a way to discuss various LGBT and specifically trans things through a Disney Pixar movie.
I think equating those topics with incest might be unfavorable.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a way to do it.
Plus, they'd have to call it Finding Oedipus.
It's, well...
Finding Eddie?
Just Finding Marlin. And then Marlin becomes Marlena. And then it's more of a character study than it is a travel movie.
Huh.
I think I could see both happening. I could see if they really, really worked at it, which, you know what, could be fucking great. I mean, like, Disney was like, we put a lesbian kiss in Star Wars, and it's like, not really. Like, y'all could have made, like, Poe and Finn super gay, and, like, we all would have been fine with it. But they're a bunch of cunt.
Point of order, viruses. Aren't they?
One of my favorite animated heefs is of Finn doing like weight curls, one arm and then the other arm. But instead of having little hand weights, he's lifting Rey on the one side and kissing her, and then lifting Poe on the other one and kissing him, and just like back and forth. It's really sweet and amazing.
That'd be a hot one.
I'm all about it.
I'd be down with that sandwich.
A po' boy.
I.
Yes. Yes.
I'd tell you to get out, but I can't.
Cheers. Salsa, no, what the fuck are you drinking?
Johnny.
Hmm. Jenna, you were saying?
The whole shipping Finn and Poe, yes, I get it, but there's a small part of me, Joe's going to shake his head at me now, but there's a feminist part of me that's like, you know, can't they just be bro friends that are like, you know, good at being sentimental together and all the rest of that? Like,
mm-hmm. You know what? That would have been fine if it carried on throughout the rest of the shitty movies, but it didn't.
That's true. That's super
it's
true.
Perfectly possible. I mean, James and I do it, but we also fuck. So
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Seen it.
Nothing gay about that. Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, no, we've been doing this video chat thing for a long time without you.
How can it be gay if it's your friend?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that you guys understand how gay works.
I'm willing to find out.
I've been to that website. I've been to lots of websites.
I believe this.
That story does check out.
I'm pretty sure that I know what gay is.
You know all the best websites?
I mean, all the websites are just kind of aggregates now where you can find whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. It's
wonderful.
Like StumbleUpon used to be an amazing service, and then Reddit happened, and Vote and 9gag and all of these other sites.
9gag or 9 inches gag? Same.
You tell me.
They're both great.
Okay.
I think I need an adult. Or
you won't find any.
Not on this podcast. Yeah.
God.
So I had a bit of a meltdown in my house today.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, actually, can I pause you for a second? I want to say one thing real quick.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I sent this to Joe like first thing in the morning, as soon as I was awake. which is a little article snippet I found about a medical fetish website.
Oh, yeah.
Sending a whole bunch of medical supply, like all of their medical stock to like hospitals and stuff. And I was just like, this is the best use ever. Like, this is so good.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if those scrubs would actually like, aren't scrubs made in a certain way, or are they just extra scrubs that
I think they have them spare
kinks buy? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Kind of like how I could totally just go buy a lab coat, even though I don't have learned to wear one.
Yep. In fact, I mean, yes. I
a lot of people don't realize that. You can just go buy a lab coat.
Yeah. It's, my dad used to wear scrubs as PJs, but he was a doctor, and I figured
he was a doctor. I used to buy scrubs and just add elastic to the bottom for under harem pants for like belly band stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they work real good. Like, you use that out at Fest for the cotton aspect to help swap up all of the grossness that happens at Fest. But then, yeah, like, because you get a big enough size of scrubs, they're basically just big-ass harem pants waiting to be hemmed. So.
The problem is when the fetish site gives them to the hospitals, they'll have to get rid of all the elastic in them.
Well, they'll also have to put the crotches back in, but that'll be fine.
But will they?
No, they can just cut that part out to make masks.
I've heard what happens in hospitals. I've seen an episode of
Stay in hospitals?
What is that? What are you talking about?
I've seen half an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Was it the upper half or the bottom half?
Porque no los dos?
I've seen the scrambled feet of Grey's Anatomy. Is that still a thing? That's not a thing.
Scrambled feet? No, it's not a thing. No. Because now there are cable boxes that have pay-per-view built into them.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about when, like, back in the day when you had the A and B box? And in seventh grade, me and my friends would try and descramble porn.
Yes, like, exactly.
Money on the B box.
Yeah, back in like 1990.
Well, the way that that worked is that they would send you the scrambled channel and then give you the code that your
thank you, James, for receiver. Explaining to us what we already knew.
Okay.
Hey, James, can you explain porn to me?
Jenna, you know that thing that you do with Joe? Like
back
that.
Rubs?
But nobody doing it is. But the difference is nobody doing that stuff is
racist
good at
jokes.
It. Which is different from.
Oh, definitely
the two of you.
Racist jokes.
Yeah.
Blowing raspberries on each other's tummies.
That's. Jenna, that's adorable. Joe, is that life size? Is that to scale?
No, that wasn't a scale. Just so you all know, I drew a crudely drawn picture of a penis. Like, a fourth grader could have drawn it better. Probably because they look at their penis.
Probably because a fourth grader actually made it to fourth grade.
Oh, damn.
Hey, Salsa, you should try out for vilification tennis.
Gallows, how I cope.
I don't think I could ever manage to get onto that cast.
No.
Well, I couldn't do it twice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Is it because they would hurt your feelings?
Clearly, that's the correct answer.
Yeah, yes. We'll go with that.
Salsa has feelings.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think Joe is kidding because Salsa doesn't have feelings.
Is it possible to make it into the Hall of Fame twice?
For different things.
Cool. Anyway. We had a total meltdown in my house. My daughter, who is the super ultra mega hyper good god extrovert in the family.
Your kid's a really sweet little spaz.
She is. She's adorable, but she is not dealing with isolation very well at all.
Mm.
And she is on a hair trigger, and that trigger was pulled tonight. And she lost it. So that was a good 15 minutes of screaming and sobbing, and followed by the hiccuping and the, you know.
It was every part of the face.
All the feels.
It was your little kid's reaction to the opening of Apocalypse Now, when Martin Sheen is trashing the apartment, freaking out of being alone and stuck there.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
It's exactly like
way
when
more
my 6-year old daughter saw Apocalypse Now for the first time. It was exactly like that.
He's like fucking like putting cigarette holes in pictures and like punching the mirror and doing shit. Like,
now I'm just imagining. I'm imagining one of your tiny children, Salsa, just laying on the living room floor, like half covered in their toys, just the horror. The horror.
Yeah, and in this case, that horror is not being able to see her friends.
It's bedtime.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
The hard part for me is I am super fucking mega ultra, you know, introverted, you know,
a surprise to everyone.
Exactly. Like this is my life. This is what I dream of. And so trying to figure out a way of comforting her and like bringing her down and like convincing her that everything's going to be okay and you will get through this. Like I don't. Yeah.
Now I'm imagining Salsa just being like, there. People are monsters and absolutely terrible. You should avoid them at all costs throughout the rest of your life. All they'll do is take advantage of you, sweetie. All they'll do.
I was just like,
I mean, that's not wrong.
No, it's not at all.
No, like I could hug her and try to like just tell her to breathe, but I'm just like, this is I had no way of empathizing with her, really. I just don't get what she's going through. You know, uh-huh. I can't understand it.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying because I like to think.
Because you're not a shitty parent.
Exactly. Yeah. And I in that moment, I didn't know what to do or say. Like, yeah. I had no words for her other than the usual vapid nonsense. You know, there, you know, everything, yeah. Everything will be fine. But, I like, beyond that, what do you say to somebody to calm her down when she just wants some fucking human interaction? I don't know.
This just reminds me of the IT crowd. There. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Exactly, yes.
Also, Salsa, how I don't remember. How old is your kid?
She's 6.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about kids.
We know.
And yeah, yet, you're going to try to give me advice. Go ahead.
No, no.
This is like that time I porn-splained to Jenna.
I cut my balls
10 off. Minutes ago?
Yeah, this is a flashback clips episode.
I'm assuming that since a 6-year-old isn't an adult and not yet fully capable of totally rational thought, that raw emotions are probably more powerful than those who are jaded and have been able to, through cynicism and society and whatever, been able to temper them at least temporarily. Adults, 6-year-olds aren't adults.
No,
good.
Yeah,
baby, I love you so much.
That's why they can't get.
We've just had a major breakthrough here.
I don't know how kids work, guys.
Here's the thing that I have to remind myself about.
Joe explaining kids and teenagers right now to us is how I feel trying to talk to my daughter about going crazy. It's like,
well, there's that.
Kids aren't adults.
Well, I was reminded because I watched the movie Better Off Dead with Bryn, and she was like, "Is everything in this movie just like way over the top?" And I was like, "Yeah, the entire movie is hyperbolic, but it really captures the way that high school feels while you're going through it. Everything is absolutely the worst thing. And a lot of it has to do with the depth of your experience. Like, very literally, it could be the worst day of your life so far if something bad happens to you in your social circle.
Yeah.
And yes, you don't have a lot of experience to match it up against. It's just like breaking your arm might be the worst pain you've ever experienced until something worse happens.
Giving birth.
Giving birth to your broken arm. Right, exactly. Uh-huh.
No. No, that's not...
Thanks, Joe.
So my daughter is not an adult and is not giving birth. That's what you're saying.
Joe, is that what you're saying?
I mean, I get, you know what? You got two silver linings right there. You got two silver linings. She's not an adult yet, and she's not giving birth.
You're like, listen, you don't have to pay taxes or, you know, pay for diapers. So look, life is pretty good for you right now.
You guys are going to get through this.
Thanks, Joe.
You know, Salsa, you've only got two more weeks of this, right? Theoretically.
I don't know how long. For all I know, we've got two more years of it. It won't make any difference to me personally.
Oh, you could do like a Skinner box experiment with your own offspring.
You mean exactly like Skinner did?
I go downstairs to my little, you know, cave of wonders, and I sit there and I'm happy because I'm not interacting with another human being.
Joe?
Yes,
I'm really glad I never have to worry about you impregnating me.
See,
so are we.
Like, if there was ever a moment that just kind of solidified it for me, Skinner box was it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because here's what I would do. Okay, like with one kid, I would totally like reenact Plato's allegory of the cave, just see what happens. The other thing that I would do is I would teach the little fucker language, but wrong. Like, I would replace words like pen would be run. The word Sisyphus would just be the article A. Like, no, just so that their syntax is all fucked up, just to see what happens. It'd be great.
Yep.
This plan would only work if you were the only human being they ever interacted with. You do realize that.
And now
you're also
time.
It's also, because I think you're mistaken,
as
considering
any
him to be a human
will be
being
able to attest,
when he behaves like
they
this,
come
this
home and they know words that you like. How do you know that? Like all of the playground songs that we sang when we were kids, I didn't teach them those songs. My kids know those songs.
Yep.
Jenna knows.
Everything Salsa
it
just
was
said.
Joe.
Joe, are you going to random playgrounds and teaching kids weird songs?
I mean, not since they told me to stay home.
Oh, God.
Yeah, now he just right. Video chats random groups of people and teaches them playground songs.
Oh, God.
And tells them that their kids are not adults and aren't pregnant.
And just to quote Salsa, yet.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Joe. Oh.
Well, that happened.
You can't just hand hard at me through the video and think that's going to solve everything, you motherfucker.
I'm simultaneously proud and horrified.
As you should be, Salsa. Also, I mean, think of how I feel right now.
That's kind of my usual state whenever I'm around Joe, but...
Yeah. That's his certain je ne sais quoi.
What? Jenna was a kid once? And now
she's
been pregnant.
I don't
know. That's the thing that happened. You have proof upstairs.
Only, no, like, obviously I have been pregnant and gave birth to a child. But was I a kid?
I don't know about that one.
No, you were a festy.
I had a something that was a reasonable facsimile to a childhood. That was a thing. Yes, there was a time and period where I was
You just pulled an Athena and sprang fully grown from your father's cranium.
Oh God!
I assume that your mother was a goose or some other wild animal that Zeus was infatuated with.
No. Nope.
Also, this is something that doesn't get brought up enough. Zeus, total furry.
Furry? I like the whole Zeus is the all-father of fuckboys.
I haven't heard that.
You're not wrong, yeah.
It's like, what is that? I want to stick my dick in it. Oh, son. Like, just like, yeah.
Bacchus might be the god of wine, but Zeus is the god of thirst.
I always like the style of Dionysus myself.
Oh.
Amen, brother.
Agreed. High fives. Okay. Too slow.
Should we take a break?
I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Since I just said something weird about Sulz's family, yeah, probably.
God.
We'll be back right after this.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Fuck it, I'm putting the hat away.
Yes, fuck the hat.
No,
and
I'm
we're
not
back. I'm Salsa.
Fuck the hat. God damn it.
James.
I'm Jenna.
Still Joe.
Yay.
Sorry.
And we're still quarantined. That's still a thing that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I have distanced myself socially.
I feel like not having to share a room in a fart cupboard with us is probably
this is delightful.
Greatest dream
this
come
is
true.
Fantastic. Oh yeah. My God, you guys.
You get to sit on a couch?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could probably rearrange the laboratory so you could sit on a couch. That's what you really want.
You never thought
that? Doing that? No.
But the bar.
What?
I mean, I guess.
I'm not a regular part of this, so I don't have a horse in this race, but...
No, but...
What did you just call me?
Not always about you. It was conceptual. It was conceptual.
I'm pretty sure this is about me.
Well, I've looked you in the mouth, so...
Okay.
You were asleep.
That doesn't make it better, Joe. That does not make it better.
I don't want that.
Anyway, like I said,
yay.
Yep,
okay.
This is all being recorded.
Good question.
Job, guys. I'm so proud of you right now.
I'm glad I can always add something.
Good.
I'm glad I can contribute.
Yeah.
Okay. Negative numbers can be added. That's
yeah. It's quarantine time. Everybody knows what that means. That people are isolated and doing things that they normally wouldn't do. So let's
like self care
quarantine game.
Sure.
What y'all been eating?
Yes.
So, did you know at the grocery store, in the frozen food section, frozen foods section. There's air quotes around foods. They sell boxes of White Castle sliders.
Yes.
Girl, I've known that forever. I was on that bus before you painted it yellow.
So that is the last thing I ate today. I picked up a box.
Glad you got that bidet now, ain't you?
Huh?
Glad you got that bidet now, don't you?
I will be in a couple of hours, yeah. So
yeah. The sliding doesn't start. It doesn't start and stop in the same place.
But I got that box of six, and I split them with Jessa. And I was like, "Hey, Jessa, I got some sliders," and she went, "Why?"
That's because they're awesome.
Right.
They're amazing.
I mean, they're all right. They're cute. They're tiny, which is why James likes them.
That might be why I like them.
Right.
There was one time a year that I would eat sliders, and it was at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds right.
After all the parties
that was amazing.
And we were done,
yeah.
We would go get sliders. Yep. That was the one time a year that I would eat sliders and not just immediately hate everything.
I normally get them when my friend Bugavac comes to visit. And we are playing video games and getting absolutely blotto because they are a convenient snack. And since we're already chain smoking and alcohol.
See, I made my own sliders.
You made your own what?
Sliders. So this is what you do. This is what you do. You get a pound of hamburger and you basically kind of make a... You do whatever you kind of want with it. You put in spices and breadcrumbs and maybe a little bit of egg. You kind of almost make a meatloaf out of it a little bit.
Like,
but you make it into a flat slab, basically. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I'm not done. You bake it.
No, Joe, not like the I would do anything for love meatloaf.
Yeah, no, okay. So you make a rectangular slab of meat in the oven. You bake it. And then when you're done, you buy a box of King's Hawaiian buns.
Yeah.
And this already sounds better.
Fuck yes.
This already sounds better.
Oh, yeah.
Can
you take
I interrupt?
The whole package. You slice off the top of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you put that slab of meat in the middle, and then you put toppings and stuff, and you put everything back on, and then you cut it into
habanero jack cheese.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. Yes, that is better. Salsa's correct. That is better. But salsa, what you just described is food.
Right.
We're talking about White Castle.
This is the problem that I have. Yeah. Between the last episode and this one where we're recording, I had procured a series of canned meats, including but not limited to Vienna sausages. And I opened those Yes?
I want to verify. Canned Vienna sausages.
That's the thing, yes.
Yeah.
Mix them with baked beans, you got yourself a fucking meal.
I used to work at Walgreens. We stock those on the shelf. That's a thing.
Yeah.
On the shelf.
They're little tins. Yeah. So I like them.
We're quarantined.
I like them. I had had tinned, like I had gotten Spam in order to make Spam sushi with a friend.
Ew.
And which is amazing. It's a Hawaiian tradition.
I don't care.
But it tastes good.
This is where I'm racist. I don't care.
The only Spam I can eat is with scrambled eggs. That's it. Otherwise,
it's amazing, fried scrambled eggs. So, I was enjoying
story.
That. Yes. Feel free to tell the podcast.
Again?
Because it's been a little while.
It's been done.
Tell Joe if he hasn't heard it yet.
Listening with your unrefined palate, Spam is awesome.
Okay, so here's the deal.
All right.
Many, many years ago, Jessa was 6 months old. And through various things, reasons, whatever, there was no food in the house. The food in the house consisted of a can of Spam that we had gotten as a gag gift at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And half a loaf of bread.
Okay.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So I took the Spam, sliced it up, mm-hmm. fried it,
mm-hmm.
put it on a slice of bread, put another slice of bread over it, made yeah. myself a little Spam sandwich, took a bite, put it down, removed the Spam, and ate the bread. That is how disgusting Spam is. I am starving with a six-month-old trying to produce breast milk to keep this thing fed, and I could not eat the Spam, all right? That's how awful yeah. Spam yeah. is.
Spam Fair. Is a wonderful food alternative. But no. I had procured these Vienna sausages. I'd procured a can of Spam, which became sushi, which was delightful. And my thanks to friend of the podcast, Jess, for that. And then I also procured tinned corned beef. Okay?
Mm.
So I opened up the Vienna sausages, just, and I don't cook them because I'm an animal and haven't discovered fire yet. And
right.
Bryn was sitting right next to me, and she said, that smells like cat food. And I laughed about it. I was like, yeah, you know, because functionally. And she was like, no, like, could you eat that somewhere else and then eat something different? Can you go into the other room, eat those, and then when you are done with them, can you eat something else before you sit near me? Which is legitimate. And I did. But then the next day I opened up the tinned roast beef, which I really enjoyed because it had a little key to open the outside.
Fun.
Corned beef, pardon me. So I enjoyed the novelty of using a little key to, you know, pop this
novelty. That's
tin
what
open.
I used to eat.
Yeah, novelty meats. Amazing.
When I got government meat growing up, that's how we ate.
Right. And, well, that was also how my dad bought boxes and boxes of sea rations. So we always had, the chicken a la king and the, whatever that corned beef, it's shit on a shingle is basically,
yeah.
And so he would make toast and he would do the, yeah, cream chipped beef. That's what it's called. It's shit on a shingle. I like it, but. I opened up the tin and Bryn was like, this is not another can of cat food, is it? Please?
Yeah.
Because she had been like, could you make lunch for us? And I was like, you know what I've got that's easy that I can make while I'm working. So I brought it over to her and she smelled it and she was like, no, this is a different brand, but this is still fucking cat food, basically. And I was like, hold on. Let me cook it. It doesn't cut easily like Spam. It just sort of crumbles. So
the one thing Spam has on any other canned meat is that it cuts well.
It's
gelatin.
Canned it's not a, ham
it is gelatin. Yeah, it's
disgusting.
Gelatinized ham. I put, did you know that at the Spam Museum, you can go bobbing for Spam in a vat of that gelatin?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've been to that Spam Museum.
I want to go. I'm so pumped for this. So
I've been there.
I'm going to get two in one go. I've promised myself I'm going to get two in one go.
Okay.
So
this is what we're doing. When we go to the House of the Rock, we're going to pass through Austin and stop at Spam.
Yes.
Museum.
Let's do it.
Can I come too?
Jenna will wait in the car.
Yeah.
Okay, but we got to stop by my favorite cheese shop where Jenna will also wait in the car.
Can we bring
my friend
Jenna?
I'll come in to the cheese shop.
Okay. They actually have outstanding beef jerky as well. But
all right. Field trip.
Yes.
Field trip. We're doing this.
So
Someday, not today.
I started pan frying this, and it just sort of like, I went to flip one of the slices, and it went bleh.
Yeah, it turned into pan fried cat food.
Basically, but then it started smelling really good, and she was like, wait, that doesn't smell like cat food anymore. That smells like people cat food, right? Like bad people food. And I was like, yeah, this is the same. I'm only recognizing it now, but this is the same corned beef that they put in cans of corned beef hash. It's exactly the same. It's just there's a lot more of it and there aren't potatoes in it. Yeah. So we made sandwiches with cheese and eggs and yeah.
I mean,
and it was fine.
With eggs.
Yeah. Now every time I look at like a tinned meat product, she gives me like a warning look. And even if she's not in the aisle with me, I can feel it. She knows. That sensor is going off in her head. And
I would just like to point out that every time he said the phrase, every time he's picking out canned meat, which is
yes.
A disturbing thing to say at the best.
I still buy tinned meats. They're still delicious to me.
I know,
I was raised on them.
You are wrong.
Unless
yes,
it's a sardine.
Like, but I'm happy
no.
about it. What about smoked oysters or kippers?
Okay, kippers.
Not my jam,
kippers fall into that seafood realm, which is
it's still tinned meat.
It's tinned seafood.
Okay, but you're not vegan if you fucking eat it. It's meat. It's got delicious animal suffering.
Look, the only canned meat that I will give you is tuna fish.
I also love tuna fish.
See,
there are a lot of people who don't.
Fish.
Fish is meat, Salsa. I'm sorry.
No, exactly.
You're wrong on that point.
Okay, no, Salsa, what about deviled
tuna,
ham?
You can eat anchovies. You can eat sardines. You can eat canned oysters. Those are fine. Those are sea-dwelling creatures. Ham does not belong.
You're used to being in a can. It's normal for them.
Exactly.
Do you think
it's
that
like
there's like
a
little
shell.
Sea inside of the can? Like, are they swimming around in the
Look,
can?
They spend their lives in a shell.
That's the third Finding Nemo movie
shell
right
put
there.
Another shell. It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Can I throw some out there?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Deviled ham, Salsa. Have you had deviled ham?
Deviled ham is good, yo.
No, deviled ham.
There you go. Yeah. Pate. Okay? Braunschweiger.
Oh, fuck.
All about it. All about it.
Oh, I do have to give you pate.
Not canned. It comes in a sleeve.
Which you're correct is far more appealing.
Oh yeah, sausage is fine.
Sleeve meat is by far.
That's amazing. Well, today
he's been eating well.
Today I had clam chowder.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was it in a can?
It was from a can.
Ah, oh, shit. I just thought.
Oh, I think we lost Jenna.
Oh, no.
She froze up in the most amazing expression, though.
That's true. Angry and drinking at the same
yeah.
time.
Yep, your girl.
Joe, have you ever added some of those tinned oysters to clam chowder?
I have not. I have never tried it.
Wholeheartedly recommend that. Jenna, you were saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I cut out entirely at Joe saying today I had clam chowder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was going to say something about like clam chowder is coming.
You asked if
can.
It was in a can. And
yeah.
It was from a can, and he said, yes, it was from a can.
It was my chunky soup. However, the
okay.
last thing that I actually, like, made for myself was tilapia and glazed carrots.
Ooh.
Nice. God, I miss your cooking.
Fucking yay can cook.
I mean, I also miss
yeah.
you as a person, but I miss your cooking.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, like,
The way to Jenna's heart is through her stomach.
Yeah, I know.
So, I've been doing a lot of cooking at home. Like a lot. I made a kombucha, which is like a pumpkin coconut curry with kale and mushrooms. And then I sauteed green beans with garlic in a sesame seed oil on the side with chunks of bacon.
Everything but the kale turns me on about what you just said.
Oh, and there was a little chunks of sweet potato in the curry.
I would give that a chance.
Yeah.
I made curry the other day as well. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I made curry.
Was there coconut?
Mm. No coconut. What I actually did is I made homemade paneer.
Mm. Whoa.
And I used I made the paneer and the whey that I extracted to make the cheese, that's what I cooked the meat and the vegetables in.
Okay.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, so that was real good. But I also put sweet potato chunks in there as well. Because chicken, sweet potato, curry, fantastic, peas. But yeah, then that cooked that in the whey and then added that paneer once it had done cooking, crumbled that paneer on top. Fantastic.
Pie day next year. A like a rice flour crust with a curry or tikka masala filling.
Sounds like a thing you should do.
Yes.
Sounds like another pie I won't be able to eat.
Well, I will do my very best to make sure that it is Jenna compatible.
Do not compromise your recipe for me. I would be upset if you could have made it better, but you didn't because you wanted me to be able to eat it. Make the best pie you can make, and I'll just mope in a corner like a martyr. It'll be fine.
What else? I made creme brulee the other day. That turned out
great. Moping in a corner like a martyr.
Gentlemen, what was the last thing that I fed you?
Oh, God. Let's see. I was over on Friday. That was the last day before quarantine kicked in.
Did I actually cook for you? We did catfish.
You actually cooked for me?
I think it was catfish.
I don't know if the older fish counted, but you did make catfish.
Mm-hmm.
I think you made, there was more tilapia. Was technically the last one because we covered it in like lemon and we made the risotto.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, tilapian risotto.
Oh shit, that sounds good.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It was amazing. I shouldn't have had the risotto, but I did because it was amazing. Like, let's be clear. So yeah, that was the last thing we cooked.
Huh. All right.
I also got to make bullseyes or eggy in a basket. With slices of pan-grilled ham and...
I don't know what that is.
What did you make?
Or egg in a frame or bullseyes.
What?
So this is a...
what did you say again?
Was it a ring or was it a coquette?
It's toast with... you toast it in the pan with butter and then you cut the center out and you drop... an egg into
toad
it.
Toad in the hole.
Toad in a hole, yeah.
What
toad, in a hole,
toad in a hole. Toad in a hole is your
bullseyes.
Egg in a basket.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Okay. Eggy in a basket was my favorite.
Yeah, that's the one that threw me.
Because you
egg
said
in a frame.
Eggy.
Yeah.
Egg in that's a frame, eggy in a basket.
Okay.
I always thought toad in a hole was sausage and Yorkshire pudding or something similar to Yorkshire pudding.
No,
I think that's a Sunday breakfast.
Pig in a blanket.
That's sausage.
Pig in a blanket is when you wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a dough like a
isn't that what croissant. He was talking about?
No,
he's talking about you take the bread, you cut a hole in it,
Yeah, with like no, a cookie cutter or with the garlic.
I was asking what you were asking about, Joe.
Oh, Toad
Joe,
in the
what
hole.
Did you? Yeah, what did you think a Toad in the Hole was?
Toad in the Hole is sausage baked with batter, then cut it up in a casserole dish.
I am less certain about that because I've always heard that called Toad in the Hole.
Maybe
I believe I have heard it called all of these things. Mm. The toast with the egg. I believe I've heard it called Toad in a Hole. I hadn't heard Bullseye, but I like that one. God, Eggy in a Basket is delightful to me. But like Egg in a Basket or Egg in a Nest are things I've heard.
But Eggs in a Nest, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the foodie videos that I watch and some fucking Brit. Kind of like how we call it eggplants, they call it aubergine. Like, I watched some video recipe for that.
But then, along with that, I also pan sauteed in butter and cinnamon some peach slices or apple slices, was what happened that day. Okay, so apple, thin apple slices with. And just like
the whole and what Joe is describing is absolutely correct. It's there's a traditional Yorkshire English dish. Sausages and Yorkshire pudding batter, yeah.
Don't fuck with my foodie boyfriend, yeah.
No, absolutely. Well, there we go. I've heard of.
but I mean,
it's
like
a
you
local
know,
colloquialism, whatever.
Yeah, local colloquialism, like names of dishes change. Mm-hmm. Fucking, especially in America.
And oh, well, yeah.
Americans have no fucking clue what they're talking about when it comes to food.
No.
You know what? We came up with the hamburger. Fuck it.
Yep. Toad in a Hole if it comes from the Yorkshire region. Otherwise, it's just sparkling eggs.
Yeah. No. Okay. So sparkling eggs is what you were talking about.
Right.
Although now
that's what I'm going to call it now. I'm now going to call that sparkling eggs, and nobody's going to know what the fuck I'm ordering. Thanks.
Jenna orders off of Amazon some food grade glitter, and they're like, "Is this an emergency?" And she's like, "Fuck yes, it is."
Yeah.
Although now I do want to try that recipe.
Yeah.
I haven't ever done Bubble and Squeak. That's something I've never done.
Ooh. What's that?
Bubble and Squeak is another English dish. It's like potatoes and cabbage. It's like a hash.
All right.
Okay. I was about to say, that sounds very Hungarian or Eastern European.
Nah, it's very British.
Is it? Oh. Well, that's
potatoes
probably no
cabbage.
Good.
Because they stole them all from the Irish, and then they almost died.
What else? Oh, I made apple butter today.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really easy. I found a recipe for making it in the Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like half an hour.
Oh, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
Nice.
I need to get an Instant Pot in order to both do pressure cooker things, but also to use as a rice maker, because just buying a rice maker is really good for steaming vegetables and making rice and not a lot else. I do really love having a rice maker though.
All right. Coming from a half Chinese household.
Sure.
Fucking rice with everything.
Yeah.
Growing up. Like my dad used to eat like rice and T-bone steak.
rice pilaf.
I believe
pilaf.
All of this.
No pilaf. Just like
no, I know.
Just but rice.
No fancy cooking. my mom made some stuff that I really love. Like, all right, going back to like canned fish. My mom used to make salmon loaf. Like there's meatloaf. My mom used canned salmon to make salmon loaf, which when I think about salmon loaf, that sounds disgusting, especially with the integration of peas in it.
Oh, that is a lot of names. It is also called a toad in a hole, even in the UK. I know.
All right.
Yeah. There's
anyway.
Bullseye eggs, eggs in a frame, eggs in a hole. Gasthouse eggs, hole-in-one, one-eyed Jack, one-eyed Pete, pirate's eye.
One-eyed Jack, yeah.
The Gasthouse special, egg in a basket, named Toad in the Hole, is sometimes used, though more commonly refers to the sausage cooked in Yorkshire pudding. all of these.
Okay. Yeah.
The first time I cooked that, it was on a coffee can that had someone had used a church key to make it into a little grill or a little griddle.
You went full hobo on that, didn't you?
You could put a single piece of charcoal under.
Yeah, you went full hobo.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was Boy Scout cooking badge.
Nice.
Yeah.
And yeah. I want to hear more about the salmon loaf.
Me being a
Yes. Sorry.
Maybe
salmon loaf.
Hearing all of that, I was like, are you talking about eggs croquette? Anyway.
all right, Southern boy.
No, salmon loaf. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what my mom did, but yeah, basically meatloaf, but with canned salmon and like peas in it.
Yeah.
It's.
I also had that growing up.
It sounds gross when you
do
put it
we have
it
the
like
same
that.
Mom?
It sounds no, really gross.
I've met both of your mothers. You're... James, your mom is a very sweet Lutheran lady that is like, we're all going to sing Christmas carols around this piano.
Literally.
Joe's mom is a very sweet Southern belle with some very lovely debutante areas. Like, James, your mom is going to be concerned about the dishware, but it's all going to have that like little Norwegian pattern on it.
Yeah.
Whereas James's mom or Joe's mom, God, we're in different corners. It's hard.
Keep it together.
Joe's mom is going to have the 16 piece set with the gold edging, and will not allow anybody to eat until everything is set proper. But there are some snacks on the table over there.
Yeah.
Orders.
They're very similar, but definitely different. James has the northern mom, and Joe has the southern mom.
No, my mom is
very both very cute.
She's got some Southern Belle hospitality. That's
oh yeah, she does.
Dated and sometimes maddening.
Mm.
Like where my mother will like run around the entire house during a family gathering and be like, "Now everybody, is everyone ready to go to come to the dining room? Is everyone children everyone?" The food's.
I felt so bad for your mom. She was trying so hard.
With her litter of children who are as obnoxious as I am, all just interrupting each other and talking over her.
Yeah.
Joe, I have a question because it sounds like the food that we ate growing up may have been somewhat similar, other than that your barbecue was probably better.
Oh, there's no probably. It was.
So, did your parents ever make for you a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich?
Never had peanut butter and mayonnaise.
Had okay.
Peanut butter and butter.
Yeah.
And grilled peanut butter and jelly.
Sure.
Which is some next level fucking shit, y'all. Fucking.
I believe it.
You fry up some PB&J and some fucking butter. Fuck that shit. That's awesome.
The waffle iron, the ancestral waffle iron, which is now gone, had plates that could be flipped to be flat. So it was a double side griddle, like a panini, but without the ridges, right? And it had a spring hinge on it so that it could accommodate a full sandwich. And my mom made amazing grilled cheese in a waffle iron.
That's awesome. Did not have a waffle iron at my home. We were a waffle ironless house. My mom was a pancake lady.
Other side of the tracks.
Waffles.
I knew I liked your mom.
Waffles were a treat. Waffles were a treat because my mom made pancakes.
Yeah, we were the same way. We didn't have a waffle iron. Pancakes were what we had at home. Waffles are what we had when we stayed in a hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Have Jenna or I made raffles for you?
Is that the cinnamon roll thing?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're instant. You don't have to wait for them in the oven. So you don't have to look at them longingly. They're just there, and they're done. And they're
the
incredible.
Waffle tots yet?
What?
The which?
Waffle tots?
Oh, the waffle tots.
What's waffle tots?
Take tater tots and layer
tater
them
tots
in
and
waffle
a waffle
iron. And then...
Oh.
The look on your face, James.
Have you guys
I think he just came in his pants.
Have you guys with
I came
like,
in like I hope three it was people's in his pants.
It's I feel it.
Ew.
The neighbors are pregnant.
No, they're not.
I was gonna say, have you guys tried the all right, so you take the cinnamon rolls, you put them in the waffle iron. Know that one. Have you cut the cinnamon rolls into quarters, thrown them in a greased up bread thing, and then dumped icing on them so you can like monkey bread pick it apart?
Tear apart, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, make monkey bread? Yeah.
All right. I figured you guys had.
Yeah.
I haven't,
it's
but
delicious.
I have a sad and shallow life.
It is a fantastic way to eat an entire roll of cinnamon rolls by yourself when you're sad.
I would make a chessboard with orange and cinnamon interspersed.
You're mixing flavors, James. You're mixing the flavors. Fucking with the game.
With James on this one. The orange icing cinnamon rolls are fucking dope.
No, they are. But I don't want to mix them and match.
My experience with mulled cider tells me that orange and cinnamon mix well.
They do.
Yep, probably, but I don't want that.
Oh, fair enough.
Also, you know what? I also get Jenna because, like, if you get a big tin of, like, Christmas popcorn, you don't want to mix, like, the cheese with the cinnamon. That's weird.
Well, nobody like, wants the cheese ever.
I do. Fucker, fuck you. Give me your cheese popcorn, then.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Cheese popcorn.
It's amazing.
Disgusting.
Jenna? The person that can no longer have the cheese popcorn, you are all correct.
All right, then you give me your cheese popcorn.
It is awful. It is a horrible atrocity unto popcorn, uh-huh. And yet I miss it.
Yeah.
So
the way to eat it is with chopsticks. By the way,
tell that
to the Chinese guy.
Are you fucking Timac from fucking The Last Dragon?
I know exactly
salsa.
What movie
salsa
you're
disappear.
Talking about. I watched that at 3 a.m. on Box 9.
Oh, God. Who else needs popcorn with fucking chapsticks? Show enough.
All right, dear listeners. If you have any quarantine recipes any of us should try, whether that be something that can be made purely out of quarantine rations, a.k.a. everything out of a can, or whether it be some grand bit of baking that now that we have a little bit of free time, we actually have the time to do. Me personally, I prefer baking, and I've been trying to stretch my wings a little bit and try things that I've never tried before. So if you have ideas for things that we should give a try, things that are underrated but you think are amazing, send it to us. Send it to feedback@aonpodcast.com. Let us know. We will try out your recipes. One or all of us, or we'll definitely try to find some time to do that, and we'll let you know how it turns out. Anything else to mention before we go back to break?
I mean, if
I
you guys
anything.
Wanted welfare mom recipes, I got like a million of those.
I would buy that cookbook. I would buy it today.
I have actually thought about making either the welfare mom's cookbook or something called a cookbook that is basically the same recipes, but it's called Stoner Soup.
I think there's a difference here, though, because welfare cooking is as low a price as possible.
Yep,
whereas
totally
quarantine
is.
Cooking is long-term food cooking.
For some people, it's both.
It's very similar, but I think there's definitely an overlap, but I think there's a slight difference.
It depends on who's quarantining. All of those people that just lost their fucking jobs, they're all looking for the low price to be able to get them through.
That.
Okay, let's go post-apocalyptic. Does that... There's a whole lot of shifty eyes going on right now.
I've been
no, okay.
And,
so
and, no, like I said, I absolutely agree that there is a ton of overlap in that Venn diagram, but I think there is a slight difference.
I disagree. I think quarantine is the umbrella.
Fair enough.
And there are different segments underneath quarantine, and one of those is price.
Okay. Okay.
Some people cannot afford to cook in a quarantine.
We'll go with foods that last a long time. So no fresh fruits, no fresh vegetables, just things that are dried in a can or things like that. Can we go with that?
Yes.
Yes. Are we counting frozen foods?
You know what? Sure. Why not?
I found one of the weirdest things.
Anything that you would have in your house after 2 weeks of quarantine, not being able to go to the store.
What's up, Joe?
Yeah. Okay.
I found myself looking at two things the other day. One of them was the cost of MREs, meal ready to eats. And like while on the website, I was like, oh, holy shit. I might be freaking out a little. God damn.
Like, you got full prepper.
I was like, oh shit. I understand those fucking yakos in like at the end of 1999 now. Like, holy crap, I'm there.
What if I'm just a meal prepper?
The second thing that I found myself looking at was one of my favorite YouTube channels. I think it's like Townsend's and Sons, worth a rabbit hole to go down because it's all about 18th century cooking. Mm. And it's adorable because this historical reenactment guy in like a reconstructed like hearth that you would be in the 18th century in like costume and regalia and using tools and shit is looking up recipes from like
you
this
realize recipe. That probably impresses the three of us a lot less than most people.
I watched these videos with Joe and I felt nostalgic.
Okay.
Which
okay.
I appreciated. Salsa? So, yeah.
Also, rebuttal, Supersizers Go.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Joe?
Yes?
Do me a favor. What is the fire area that they were cooking in again? Fire? What was that word that you said?
Fire. Earth.
Shut up. Joe?
Yeah.
What was it?
A hearth.
Hearth.
Like a hearse with a lisp?
I believe you mean hearth.
No, James, don't ruin this. Don't ruin this, James. What is it?
Like hearth and home. What? Is this the creek crick thing?
It is.
Hearth.
Yeah, there we are.
Oh, fuck you, fucking Yankee pieces of shit. Tell me how to talk.
I love you, baby. Oh, God, it's
you
a good
really,
thing we can't see each other.
You really stabbed
for 2 weeks,
us right
fuck.
In the hurt.
The kitchen fire, bitches. Whatever. God, fuck you guys.
I think we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Wow. Yes.
And we're back. Yeah. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Joe.
Yay.
Yay, we're all here.
You know what else is
so
here?
So James is eating.
But, you know what else is here?
Yeah. What?
A Fest Five!
Fest Five!
Today's Fest Five has a title. And it comes from... Drum roll, please. Yes, terribly out of sync. Dennis Zastara!
Zastara! Zastara! Zastara! Zastara!
Zastara! You guys are fucking weird.
That was awful.
That was horrible.
All right.
We're totally
this
doing that again.
The musical director
and the Fiveiest COVID Drift.
Say again.
They start out by saying, "Oi, space friends! Word around the bathroom at work is y'all need are in need of
God
Fast Fives." Here's one.
Cool.
Hold on, I gotta find the thing.
My God! Aww. See, this is why I should be there. That's why.
Nope, that's not it.
That's not the right. It's the one
that's
with
the
little light bulb.
The wrong button. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I regret things.
The light bulb. It's the light bulb salsa. God damn it.
You can't see it because the whole thing is red.
All right. All right. Found it. All right. Ready?
I'm so proud.
Yes.
Question number one.
Sonic? Was that
Sonic
the cash one?
Or Mario?
Sonic or
Sonic.
Mario?
That's actually a really
Mario
hard question.
Okay. Sonic.
Sonic was what I had growing up, but Mario was what convinced my parents to buy video games for us that were not edutainment.
Mario, baby. Mario all the way.
Fuck.
Thank you. It's all about Mario.
Joe Mario is
know,
faster
like,
than Sonic.
I told you guys about how back at that place that we all used to work, but at different times, I got the little... So Joe, we used to have an in-house task system to keep track of things that we needed to do. I may have broken into the system, and on the top of mine, there is somebody asked me about this. Like they found this file a while later, and they're like, "Why, Jenna? Do you know what this Zoller, my maiden name?" Zoller.gif is? And I was like, yes, I do. Because I broke into the task system, and on the top of the task system, I put in my own little animated GIF of Sonic the Hedgehog with his arms crossed, tapping his foot.
That's
just
amazing.
That little pause thing while he's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the kind of fucking nerd I am. So I'm
going
to have to go Sonic.
Mario is superior.
I'm going to say Sonic because Sonic 2 is where it is
Electric
the first
Boogaloo?
Video. Yeah. The first video game that my sister and I could play competitively. And we absolutely played the fucking shit out of that game. And it made us best friends. And we played a series of games after that. And it helped us to grow closer as a family. Sonic.
That is so fucking sappy. I hate you. Jesus Christ. What is
I'm
this?
Going Fuck. Sonic.
This is the goddamn freight story.
Here's the deal. I'm going Sonic very specifically because I'm constantly trying to get 18 million things done and I'm consistently moving at a very fast pace, trying to get all the stuff done, timing and all of the rest of that. I am not a Mario person where I'm just going to hang out and look cool and wait to stomp on that mushroom. Like I'm not a waiter.
You know, there's a timer
in general.
On Mario too.
What about
that
Mario 1?
That's the laziest timer ever.
Mario also, fuckers.
Jesus Christ.
There's actually no timer on Mario 2. There is on Lost Levels, the original Mario 2, but not on the reskinned Mario 2 that is Doki Doki Panic. There is no timer. I got you.
So, have you ever considered mashing up Dirty Dozen Brass Band's My Feet Can't Fail Me Now with the first level theme from Super Mario World? Do it in your head.
I'll look that up later.
Yes. Please do. It is.
Yes, later.
Post it Facebook Live of it, Joe.
Later sounds fantastic. Question number two.
Salsa. Salsa. Oh, God.
Fucking amateur.
Stop, baby. Don't stop.
Rice.
Sisyphus or Tantalus?
Ooh.
Say it again.
Oh. I don't These know are eternal torture.
Yes.
Tantalus is always
I just couldn't hear him
back.
Very well. I keep hearing a little bit of an echo.
Or Tantalus.
Tantalus. Okay.
Yeah.
This one's easy.
Tantalus is the origin Sisyphus. Of the word tantalized.
Sisyphus, easily.
Yeah. I feel Tantalus. I feel closer to Tantalus where I am always seeing the thing out in front of us, the brass ring toward which I'm reaching, and not that I feel like my work is undone and has to be redone constantly.
But the thing with Tantalus is Tantalus is impotently reaching for something he can't have, whereas Sisyphus is at least doing something. You know,
something pointless and repetitive.
Yeah, but they're doing something. There's an action.
Okay,
Joe.
You're at least accomplishing something. It's
Which one
negated,
best embodies your motto yet?
Right. Applies equally to both, but I could yet sitting on my ass, or I could yet doing something.
Joe, I feel like this is the trumpet. Sisyphus. Joe needs to tell a story now.
Sisyphus all the time for me. Sisyphus.
Thank you.
Joe, tell the trumpet story.
Okay, so in fifth grade, we had a class project wherein we had to write a report on an aspect of American history, and then we were going to make, every student was going to make a 1-foot by 1-foot square based on that report. And then we were going to patch all of those things together and make a quilt. And it was fifth grade, and fifth grade's fucking stupid. So this was the class project. Boom. All right, there you go. You get the conceit of this.
Point of order. Is there going to be a penis anywhere in this?
No, there was not a penis.
Oh.
I'm confused about who's telling this story.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, so... I, lifelong music nerd, decided to write a report about jazz because that was 20th century American history. And a brother recently introduced me to Louis Armstrong, and I was starting to explore also Louis Prima and Dave Brubeck and all that shit. And I was like, this fucking right. So I got sweet exposure to that, and I was fucking rocking out of that shit that time. So I wrote a report on jazz as best as a fifth grader can do, which was, you know, pretty fucking surface because there's a lot of racism going on with that shit that I did not even think to dig into. Regardless,
but you grew up in such a progressive place.
If you take away the cocaine
and the racism, what's left?
For a fifth grader, it was a pretty good report. And so
right.
far, patchwork quilt... Based on the time that I was writing about, I also stumbled onto abstract and surrealist artistry.
Ooh.
So my patchwork quilt idea would be a black square with a yellow abstract trumpet on it that would consist of in my head, triangle, rectangle, and then like a thing. Like very abstract, Artie McFartfart fucking trumpet, right? Pretty good for a fifth grader. However, here's where the trumpet thing comes into play. And here is why my friend Jason from that time has always said henceforth, dude, don't trumpet it. You're going to fucking trumpet it. Let it go. Because in trying to cut felt to make this trumpet design that I had in my head, but also never sketched out, I kept trimming off a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And it was like, okay, nope, that looks good. Ah, except for that one little bit. And then I'd trim off a little bit and it'd be uneven. So I'd have to trim off another little bit here. So it was just an orange, it was a black fucking square with just like an orange blob in it. And I turned it in with my report. And my friend Jason in fifth grade was like, that looks like fucking shit. And I was like, it's abstract. It's supposed to be abstract. I had a concept in my head, and here's what happened. I kept trying to make it perfect, and I couldn't. And he was like, dude. And that is the story of people saying, dude, don't trumpet it. Mm-hmm. Just fuck it. Just walk away. Walk away from the project. You're done. You're done. You're going to make it worse if you try and make it perfect.
Yeah.
Life lessons for all.
I wish I could say I had never experienced something like that in my life before, ever.
I've definitely started trimming my beard and ended up clean shaven.
Everybody has trumpeted something in their life.
Yeah.
Where were we? So I feel you. Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
Tantalus.
This is really hard for me. So I'm always going for perfect, but I'm always doing something too. So
I got your low hanging fruit right here, baby.
Wow. Okay. Oh, well,
Sisyphus then.
Question number three.
That's not the right.
Echo or Cassandra?
Ooh.
This one's also easy for me, Cassandra.
It's also, you're kind of echoey to me, so I'm going to go Echo.
Sorry. No, Cassandra is by far the more tragic. Hands down.
Can somebody clue me in? I'm if this was some Viking bullshit, I'd be fucking on my point.
Okay.
But
so Echo was doomed to only be able to repeat what somebody else had already said.
Remember that.
Cassandra
figure that out.
Was doomed to speak prophecy, but no one would ever believe her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So Cassandra, hands down.
I mean, as a woman in today's society, and pretty much any day's society, I feel like Echo speaks more to me. Well, No, I just kind of feel both of those.
To speak the truth and have nobody listen?
Yeah, I feel both of those.
That's Cassandra all day.
Because I feel like, Echo in reverse, where I can say something, but nobody will hear it until somebody else, usually a white male, says it after I do. So it's like opposite Echo. I'm going to go Cassandra.
The anti-Echo.
Anti-Echo.
I've got two friends that interact.
That's right. Okay,
in
moving
humor.
On.
Nice.
I'm not your friend.
I'm impressed,
in humor,
yes,
in
too.
Very specific ways. One of them only repeats and sends memes, and the other one just has good advice and just has the occasional sly dig in at something. And I find one of their senses of humor to be far better, especially because it's something that is unique to him. And so I'm going to have to go with Cassandra, because humor-wise, I would much rather have somebody come up with the occasional wise thing than just repeat. But I like friends send me memes, and I love it. I do. But I place a higher value on unique, original content. Even if no one else will see it.
Despite the fact that years ago, I said that the future will consist of Disney and China. I definitely identify with Cassandra. However, I also feel like no one ever listens to me until
Sorry,
it's
like
me normally by a white male. So I'm going to go with Echo.
Joe, that's a really tragic story. It's the first time I've heard somebody express that in those words.
Oh my God, that makes and so much sense, Joe.
Shit, Joe.
Like, that speaks to me
wow.
on so many levels.
Yeah. That's really deep.
Jenna,
I'm glad you explained this.
I'm gonna call this the Joe paradigm from now on.
You opened the door and I had to pick that up and take it.
Fucking
oh, but the patience
wow.
on it. The patience is what sold it.
Fucking wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, for somebody who can't wait 10 minutes for some goddamn bread to bake, apparently you can wait 10 goddamn minutes to mock your girlfriend. That's fine. That's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
How about that question number four, everyone?
Sure.
All right, question number four.
God damn it, man.
Watching Jenna during all this process is giving me life.
I'm coming over. I am coming over. I am going to ask Raiderly to take that goddamn... Like, I will stand on the sidewalk and just ask her to chuck it at me. All right, that's what's happening.
Question number four. Like fucking, heaven or hell?
I mean,
hell.
I'm like Christian and stuff, so I guess the heaven.
Fuck heaven.
I think Dante's Inferno is a far more cutting satire of his current political climate. And
it would have been
a much more interesting book
and a cooler video game than what if like the franchise perpetuated and they made Dante's Paradiso. Like, fuck
Don't
that
mind.
Video
that,
game.
That game was shit.
That game was shit, and the advertising campaign for it was, in fact, worse.
Yes, true.
I had fun playing it. I thought the first half of it was kind of cool. There was some neat art direction in Dante's Inferno, the video game.
Sure. I'm not saying that it contained nothing good.
It was
I'm saying
shit.
The ad campaign was terrible and that there were many bad things about the game itself.
But them titties, bro.
I understand.
They're pixelated video game titties. Clearly.
Whoa, Salsa, you're starting to lose me.
You clearly forgot what it's like to be a 12-year-old boy.
I don't
believe
that.
No, I remember what it's like being a 38-year-old man with the internet.
I think you're
Yeah, showing. Joe, you're asking Salsa to remember something that was longer than 5 minutes ago.
There you go. James, me. Who are you? Why are you in my game?
Anyway, I'm Catholic. It's what I deserve.
I feel like the obvious answer. I feel like I'm being corralled into an obvious answer, and I'm going to reject that and go with heaven.
Salsa, I feel like this is a real weird thing for you that no one would have expected and deviates from your normal patterns in such a strong way that it's worth mentioning.
Exactly. Why I do these things. All right. Question number five.
Ding.
God damn it.
Fine.
All right.
Just once.
Woo!
Thank you.
Theater or theatre?
Oh.
So theater E-R or theater Ooh. R-E?
R-E. I'm a pretentious fuckface. My pinky's way the fuck up. Fuck you fucking goddamn Philistines.
Is it the building or the institution?
Right.
They're two different things. So it's
right.
I value the institution more than the individual theater. As shitty as that is to say, because the individual theater, without the individual theater, the institution couldn't survive. So, fuck.
I'm going to say theatre, because with the advent of internet technology, we have seen a lot of streaming theater in these last few weeks, including I just watched Brianna Cecile in the Foul Play, Agatha Christie, improvised Agatha Christie, which was fucking phenomenal. And I didn't get to see it in a theater, but it was absolutely theatre.
Here's I spelled Ray with an E too, so fuck it.
I also do that.
I honestly don't know which is the American and which is the British spelling.
It's aluminium, bitches.
I'm gonna say
Ligurie.
I am going to say theater. I believe the buildings, I believe, are going to suffer much more through this quarantine than the individual institutions. Because, you know, for Fearless, we just had a bunch of fundraising and stuff. It's really hard for the buildings to be able to continue to raise funds when there aren't people in their buildings.
Yeah. For example, our longstanding monthly show venue just closed forever. Honey Minneapolis is no more.
That means
and it's like the death of a friend.
Blind is uncertain.
But and that's kind of my point is that we can theoretically go elsewhere, but they don't have anything. So yeah. I think the theaters are going to be more heavily impacted.
I'm 100% sold.
I'm with Jenna on that one. Yeah.
I like RE. I like how it looked.
All right.
Fair.
I'm not going with a concept on it. I'm going with purely.
Joe is going with theatre.
Yeah. Aluminum, aluminium, gray, theater.
Okay.
I'm going with that. I like RE aesthetically.
All right. We open up.
It's okay, Joe. I like to enter the little N-O.
You all make good points on the conceptual difference between theater and theater.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I agree with those. But if I'm looking at a word printed, RE fucking, that I get more turned on than
that's the winner. You are.
I do like it when you're turned on, so.
Well, there's that.
So you're an Anglophile?
What?
I don't like the British.
Joe is angular.
Just basically what
you're
saying.
Yeah, I like that about his face.
You like the British spelling more. Because
I do. I do, actually. No, I am kind of an Anglophile. I do like the old school shit. Dude, I'm pinkies up. My mom fucking raised me with appreciation for the crown.
Okay, by the way, for those keeping score, that was another tally mark for up, not out.
I know what forks are supposed to do what, like that kind of shit. No, I'm down with it.
So, Jenna, just speak with a Cockney accent during sex and he'll be all over you.
No, I can't speak with a Cockney accent. I need a proper North London.
Hello, love. What's your little flower opens up?
Please, mate.
All I want is a place somewhere far away from the
hills. I'll tell you extra. How about I pay you more not to sing or speak to me?
Okay.
Give
me up. Okay. Second email. Fast and contextuous. Hello again, tiny friends. I suppose you'd like some context for the hastily scrawled Fast Five I just submitted.
Yes.
I would.
Question number one, Sonic or Mario? I said Mario.
Sonic.
Okay.
Which movie would you rather watch while homesick from work?
Oh, shit. Mario, I haven't even seen the Sonic one.
Mario from
Dead Sonic one? Being weird?
Yeah.
Great. Any day.
I want them back to back, honestly.
Whoa, fuck.
She had a date really like that once.
Yeah, I did. Hey, baby.
Back to back. Back to back. Back to back.
Donna. Donna, Donna. Donna. I know it's pretty, baby.
Ah, Joe, thank you. So,
I won't play the piano.
I would say Mario. Mario is a far more fun group experience.
But you're homesick. You said homesick.
Now with a group of people.
Well,
kind of.
Yeah, there's that. Okay. Sonic, because it's possible that if I fell asleep in the middle of it, I wouldn't feel bad.
I wouldn't feel bad either way.
They both suck.
Yeah. All right. Question number two. Why isn't it coming up? There it is. Sisyphus or Tantalus? Which myth is more like American capitalism? The endless slog for an unachievable goal, or constantly having satiation and satisfaction recede right before your eyes?
Second
one.
Goalposts moved.
Yeah. Agreed. Although endless slog towards unachievable, that's bootstraps in a word.
Well, yeah, I suppose, because especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck, any disaster that happens to you, no matter how small, is like having the rock roll back down the hill.
That's a tough call, honestly.
You have to start back over from scratch.
I'm staying
from the base of the mountain.
As a person that was on welfare 15, 17 years ago, 20? God, a long ass time ago.
Math.
As somebody that is, you know, no longer in that state, but has kind of achieved a little bit of ranking in the class system, the goalposts move, man. Like, yeah. It's all capitalism, and I can't argue with any of it. But, like, even when you are within one specific class level and not shifting, that there's still, like, the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Like, no, even within that level. So I'm going to go with goalposts moving.
I'm going to agree with Jenna. I'm going to move back to Tantalus because I agree entirely about, like, the American dream. The only reason that there is not, and I'm now putting on like a tinfoil hat and carrying a red flag and doing all of these other things, getting the guillotine ready, is that we are sold the idea that if we just work hard enough, we will reach the point where we're not having difficulty sleeping. Yeah, we're not having difficulty sleeping because of work stuff. We're satisfied and happy. We have a spouse and a car and 2.5 kids and the dog and the fenced in yard.
Oh, God, that 0.5th of a kid. That's awkward, man.
Right.
That was the abortion at Christmas. All right. I'm going to one thing, and I'm going to argue for a new character called Tantalus, in which you keep chasing the boulder.
And you keep trying to push the boulder up to the brass ring.
So, existence is pain. Everything is terrible. There.
Everybody, please meet my nihilistic boyfriend, Joe.
What?
Okay. Moving on. Question number three. Echo or Cassandrum? I said Cassandrum. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Which mythic... Jenna, you nailed this. Which mythic character would be a more irritating coworker? Someone who always repeats what you said, Jenna, I see you and I feel your pain, or someone who always accurately predicts disaster and is ignored?
That's what I said too.
No, Joe, that was a very good point you made.
God.
Fuck all of you.
Wow.
Oh my God. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Piss off. Fuck you. Nobody's cool. I'm out.
I love you.
Oh, sure you do. No. Put your nipples away, boys. I don't care. Fuck off.
That's our new box quote. Put your nipples away, boys. I don't
care.
Put
your nipples away, boys. I don't care.
Only the orangutan gets the nipples.
So,
All of it's annoying. I think it is more annoying to be the coworker that is like, hey guys, this is a thing, and to not have that listened to.
Agreed.
But I don't think that's what was said. I think the annoyingness was the person that's always right, but not listened to. That as a coworker, so that would be me. And I'm pretty annoying, but not as annoying as the person that just repeats everything.
Everything that Jenna just said, but male.
Oh my fucking God.
Jenna, I'm going to agree with you because when I said.
You're
a project piss. Joe, what? Damn it.
What?
When I hear a project pitch, the first thing that I start thinking of is what the fuck is going to go wrong. I start predicting the problems with it, which as an engineer is fantastic. That's now my job. But when it wasn't my job, I know that it made me fucking obnoxious to work with.
Yes, that is also accurate.
But that's not what the question
is. I'm not going to say you've never done that to me before, but I appreciate you, James.
I'm almost always right.
Said, that's not what the question was.
Yep.
Well, I'm still going to say the more obnoxious coworker is the person who is right but not listened to.
So what you're saying is the more obnoxious coworker is you.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Question number 4. Heaven or hell?
Hell.
I forgot how long that one goes. Heaven or hell? What's working from home like for you?
Purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain job things that I do, like working on reports and metrics, where it's way easier for me to not be interrupted, to be able to get that done. And the working from home is great for that, because I just don't respond to anybody trying to chat me. It's great. However, there are a lot of other tasks in the project management area where I need to be able to get a hold of people. And if somebody else is doing to me exactly what I do to people during those other times, it's impossible for me to get my job done. And the when I was working in the office, it's the same thing. Like, being in the office, it's way easy for me to just walk up to somebody and be like, why aren't you responding to my goddamn email, you motherfucker? Only in business. But yeah, like, trying to get metrics done in the office were awful because people would keep walking up to me being like, why aren't you responding to my Jabber chat? So yeah, it really is 6 of 1, 1/2 dozen of the other for me.
I feel like the premise is flawed for me personally.
Oh.
Because the idea of heaven sounds like hell.
I feel like heaven would be having too long of a conversation with James. It would just be too sweet and too nice forever until I just get sick of you. I love you.
Tell me hell is going to be like having a conversation with me. I dare you, Salsa.
No, it's hanging out with me.
No, but you know what I mean. It's just it's heaven. It's heaven is just like I would get so sick of heaven so quickly because everything would be so wonderful and so nice and so sweet and so sincere all the fucking time, and I would get sick of it. So heaven as the good option seems flawed to me.
I mean, ultimately,
but in the spirit of the question as it is asked, I prefer working from home. So in that respect, heaven, quote unquote.
What are you saying, Joe?
I said, ultimately, like when you're dead, you're dead. Your worm food doesn't matter.
That's our Catholic.
100%. Yeah.
I prefer working from the office. I like the kind of the ritual of it. I like the separation of church and state. I find that when I work from home, that it is much easier to be casual about things. And what I enjoy about going into work is having that work environment to encourage work behavior.
It's compartmentalized for you.
Yeah. And I find that I do work either way, and I probably do the same amount of work, but I like the habit of it.
No, that makes sense.
And I like the compartmentalized.
All right, you guys, behavior. I figured this out. Are you ready? Today, I had to make my own smoothie.
Fuck.
I know, right? I know, it's awful.
A white girl had to make her own smoothie.
I wasn't in the office. I don't have my guys to make me my smoothie for me.
And suddenly, I had to make having my a conversation with James is like hell. Or Jenna. Fuck. Jesus Christ. I love you, James.
Everyone's doing this today.
I will say this. Because I don't have a real job. I work from home all the time. However, without the prospect of shows or gigs, I haven't practiced shit. Like, there's kind of a depressive state of like, what's the fucking point? That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Upcoming gig, upcoming show, then it's like, oh, I should do something. But without that push of motivation, it's kind of like, I'm going to beat my dick like it owes me money and watch YouTube. Fuck it. Who cares? Like,
yeah, baby. That sounds awful.
That sounds amazing. No, that is the life I want.
Salsa apparently wants the life of beating Joe's dick and
yes.
Yeah. But you know what? It's lacking purpose. There's nothing to do because there's nothing to do anything for.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
No.
For me, my day job is what allows me to live the life as a performer, actor, comic, writer, podcaster, everything else. It allows me to do all of these other things in relative comfort. Where if those were my only means of income, that would be a little too narrow a margin for me. I have 100% respect for people who are able to do that, but I can't. But my day job, I enjoy doing my day job because I feel like I'm good at it.
Mm-hmm.
It does help me to feel productive. When I had no job and I was just living off of my savings for a short period of time,
right?
I began to feel really listless and depressed and bored, even of the things that I enjoyed doing.
It's like I think what I'm experiencing is a complete and total lack of motivation, because I've always been the kind of person that needs that fire under his ass to be like, you've got a thing coming up, you should get your shit together and fucking work. But if it's like, there's no bars or theaters open for at least a month or two.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the counter argument to that is, I don't know, get creative, fucking write some music, compose some shit. You're classically trained musician. What the fuck, yay? But it's, you know, at the same time, it's like, yeah, but no one's ever going to fucking hear it. I don't give a shit. Fuck it. You know, like.
I've done both. I've done freelance, whatever, and I've done working in a corporate environment. And obviously, I've been working in a corporate environment. I'm really lucky to actually enjoy my corporate job.
Yeah.
So, like, I get to do my corporate job stuff, and then I get to do my not corporate job stuff. Like, it can be hard to get yourself motivated. I feel like I am, for my corporate job, I am definitely way more motivated when I am in amongst the peoples for specific things and not when I'm not. And it depends on the aspect of whatever it is that I'm doing.
I get that.
So, like, the freelance stuff, when I'm trying to coordinate various events or whatever, way more helpful to have people around. That's why we have meetings for Die Laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Die Laughing. But when I'm working on design stuff, it's way better for me to not be directly involved with people. So,
yeah.
Depends on the task, I guess.
Okay.
Having Skype meetings with my boss for one-on-ones and things like that, we have found ourselves laughing ourselves basically sick. Because it's, we have so little human interaction. It's so good.
Yeah.
I miss being in the office.
I get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
Question number 5. Which is the better place to see a musical?
What's the context?
I don't understand.
I mean, based on the definitions that we've been going by, theater?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, like a movie theater versus a staged theatre.
Maybe that's what their intention was, but that's not how we've ever defined it in the podcast.
No, it isn't.
You know what? I'm going to throw some out there. I'm going to start. Mm-hmm. And okay. I'm going to say that I'm right. New Year's Day, we saw Cats at a movie theater. However, the fact that Cats was playing made it a theater. So I'm still going with RE. The musical makes it a theater.
All right.
I mean, you guys can try to argue with him if you want, but you're not going to get anywhere, so...
Nah. No, it's weirdly Sisyphean.
Jesus Christ,
it is Sisyphean. Superstar,
fucking... you know what? Moulin Rouge, the movie theater.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
No. It's a theater.
Okay. But what about Sweeney Todd?
If they replayed Sting of the Rain in a movie theater, it's now a movie theater.
All right.
That's not how this works.
When they do the live
stream. That's not how any of this works. It's not transmutation. We don't have a sorcerer's stone hanging out in the wings. This isn't transubstantiation.
Maybe you don't.
We're not turning water into wine. It's either a theater or a theatra. You can't just go, and it's different.
That's the power of music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, going with Joe on this one, but
what?
I'm also I'm choosing théâtre.
I'm just enjoying watching Joe fuck with salsa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to have any other input. Just watching Joe fuck with salsa is
the I haven't seen point. Salsa this mad since he found out that a game was multiplayer.
Oh. I haven't seen him since this mad since somebody said soups totes at him.
Ugh.
Soups adorbs.
So that is
like, oh god, I deserve this, but I don't want it.
I saw the Usher V. I saw the Usher V.
It was.
There was a lot above it, but it was there.
It's true.
Oh, no happy trail, salsa trimmed. Just so you all listeners know that.
All right.
All right.
So anyway,
that is our Fast Five. There is no outro on this, so we just say thank you so much to Dennis for the Fast Five. Who has a shout out?
I do.
All right.
Thank you to Huge Theatre and the Agatha Christie Improv Group for being kind enough to host their work online. Also, Reverend Matt and a number of other people who have been publishing their stuff streaming for other people. The fine folks who did The Ballad of Chris Lindahl, you're awesome. Thank you. Thank you to all people who have decided to stream and produce that work for others.
So I have to go right after this because mine is quite literally The Ballad of Chris Lindahl. So listeners know that Die Laughing did not happen this weekend, but there was one show that decided they were going to carry the fuck on regardless. They're not Peerless members. But they decided they were going to do a live stream of their show anyway. On this live stream, they encouraged people to donate to be able to put in to donate to Fearless to put in their suggestions for where the story should go, improv suggestions, whatnot. And these people also donated a silent auction item. Of a watercolor of a snow giant asking Chris Lindahl to sell this home and had a house in his hand. And it was signed by Chris Lindahl, and they kept like they promoted the silent auction item and they did this show that was literally improvising stories about how incredible, like improvising fairy tales, like folklore type stuff about the greatness that is Chris Lindahl. And it was amazing. And it was everything that like Die Laughing is to me. And like, I cried, like Jess was just sitting there like, oh, mom, like, I'm sorry. This is so beautiful to me as they're talking about like Chris Lindahl fighting the evil Remax monster. Like, it was so good. But yeah, so like my shout out goes directly, to Winter and Meredith. They know who they are. But they just, everything that they did is exactly why I loved Die Laughing, and they made me feel all of the feels directly. So.
Makes sense.
I'm going to give my shout out to everybody who bid on shit in the silent auction.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to give a shout out to Mav for running the silent auction.
Oh, yeah.
Because the silent auction, honestly, was looking a little kind of not very active for the longest time.
Until the weekend.
Fucking last minute, like 2 hours before it ended, suddenly it just went fucking ape shit.
That's kind of how silent auctions do, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it suddenly went gangbusters, and there was some stuff that went for a lot of money suddenly. Yeah, big shout out to everyone who gave us money, who bid on stuff in the silent auction, and for Mav for running the whole thing.
Yeah.
People who fucking stay at home and suffer with people who stay at home.
That's yeah.
All right.
There you go. I'm in.
Good for me. Who's got something to plug?
I do.
Fucking shit, because everything is awful and weird, especially in America.
Everything sucks in quarantine.
Yeah.
But you know what? Humanity has survived other epochs of horrible destruction. So we'll make it.
True. We will. Godzilla.
Don't appropriate Japan's nuclear holocaust as...
I do have something to plug, though. This weekend, and I will double-check whether it is Thursday or Friday, but this weekend I will be appearing in the online vilification tennis show, the one that's coming up. We're going to have games and vil rounds and everything else in order to keep the people entertained.
Bye.
Yeah.
This Friday at 10 p.m.
Yep.
Late night with vilification tennis online.
That's the one. I get to be the Ed McMahon to Tim's Carson.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Friday, April 3rd at 10 p.m. on an internet near you.
Yes.
Ooh. Yay.
So that means not in my bedroom. Like, I'll have to come down to the living room so that I've got a signal.
Seems like.
I'm going to plug, once again, MNTC Virtual Stage. On the Facebooks. Man, we had like 11 events that happened over the course of the weekend that were posted there. And now we only have a few, but I have a feeling like in another couple of days, we'll see another like five things happening on Saturday listed in that group again. MNTC Virtual Stage on Facebook. Watch some Minnesota theater, but like not at a theater.
Theatre.
Yes, at a theatre.
Watch some theatre, but not at a theater.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else? Speak now or forever. Shut the fuck up. All right. That is it. Thank you so very much. Okay, yeah.
Nipples! Oh, God, see, I was okay with Joe's, but then that's too white. It's too white, you guys. It's too white.
Yeah.
We're drifting downward.
No.
Downward.
No. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, well, God. What happened?
That was the...
That
was the Monty Hall.
Baby maker.
Oh, God.
Huh.
I don't.
Well,
I'm not sure if I saw what I saw, but I don't want to know if I saw what I think.
Nah,
I saw.
You saw it.
Thank you so much to Dennis Sestera for sending in a fast five. If you would like to send in a fast five, send two emails to salsa@awnpodcast.com. First one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and then give us the context. Thank you so much for everybody who's been listening. Thank you to Joe for being our special guest. Woo!
Yay.
Thank you for being, you know, people who listen to us even through all of this quarantine bullshit. And thank you again for that.
Yeah.
We will be back at you next week. As always.
Bye bye. Love you.
Eat
bye.
The fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.